Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello and welcome to an hour of mind power. This is Donna Sebo, and we're going to be talking about one of my absolutely most favorite subjects. And what is that? I know I've got so many, but I love to talk about animals. And you all know, if you listen to the show regularly, that I have two absolutely awesome Scottish terriers, and they're very much their own personality types. But today we're going to be talking about something that you don't hear much about. And that is animal massage. And I can tell you, I have two Scotties that just think they are in heaven. Anytime someone starts giving them a massage, they love to just spread out on the floor on your lap, and they just say, please, give me a good rub. Well, the lady that I have with me today, her name is Megan Iralt. She is a specialist in this. We're going to be talking about dogs today, as well as horses. So if either one of these animals are a love of your life and you're fascinated with them, I think you're going to be interested in what Megan has to say. Megan, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Donna. And I would love to add that I can also speak somewhat to cat lovers. Although I don't specialize in cat massage, I have learned some about it, and I can talk about that a little bit as well, if people
are
interested.
Well, I think that would be absolutely marvelous, because animals like us, I have found from having dogs through the years, they feel so comforted, they relax. It's just like after a little bit, they'll say, please, give me more. I mean, I don't know many people that don't feel that way, that after they get a good massage, do not feel as loose as a goose. But I want my audience to know something about you. You're a licensed massage practitioner for animals as well as people. And that is something, it's to me, rather unusual. You also are a professional educator. You have a master's degree in teaching from Seattle University. Now, you have always loved animals, and you'll have to give us a little bit of background on that in just a moment. But you've involved yourself with learning and teaching therapeutic riding for children and adults with disabilities. You have been involved with education on the elementary, secondary, and adult level. You just have this love of interaction with people and animals. What made you decide that you wanted to put these two marvelous books out? And that's what we're going to be talking about, because you've got two of them that people can know about. What made you decide that you wanted to put this into print?
Well, it's really just a way to reach more people, because what I put in the books is information I talk about all the time with either clients or prospective clients and the questions they ask. And I just sat down and was thinking, well, how can I do this for more people, because I can only do so many massages per week or talk to so many people one at a time. But with the Internet, the combination of the Internet, the website, and the books, I can reach the whole world.
Well, that's a wonderful way of doing it. And, of course, word of mouth, once people know about this and know about your website, and we'll be giving that information out. Now, right off the bat, you have a lot of information that you like to give about horses, but what's the benefits of massage? Well, we're going to talk about horses for a little bit. What are the benefits of massage for horses? Now, we're talking about animals that can weigh a ton or more. So this is something for some people, they'd say, you have got to be kidding. How do you, when you're standing up to a horse that's, you know, so many more times bigger than you are, and there's a beautiful series of photographs in your book, and I'm watching you with this magnificent animal, and you've just got your knuckles going into his shoulder area. And I'm looking at this, and the horse is just like, okay, you can keep doing this. In the photo, he looks totally content. What are the benefits of doing this with a horse?
Well, the benefits are really all exactly the same, depending on the activities of the individual, but the same for all species. So, for instance, the benefits for an athlete might be a certain list of things, and the benefits for older geriatric issues would be a certain list of benefits. Benefits recovering from an injury. So it matters more sort of what's going on in the body and what it needs, what kind of benefits it's going to take from the massage. That matters more than what species.
Mm-hmm. Now, why do you say it's like doing car maintenance? That was really an interesting analogy to use.
Well, at the risk of having people think of their bodies or their animals' bodies as a machine, I chose to go with that analogy because although we're not machines, people, I think, very readily accept the idea that you need to take care of your car before it breaks down. And with our bodies, we tend to assume that everything's fine as long as we're not. And this goes for, we do this to ourselves as well as our animals.
Mm-hmm.
You know, until something forces us to go to the doctor, we think everything's fine.
So this is like preventative maintenance that we can do for
our animals.
Yes,
it certainly can be.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, when you talk about stress factors, and when you look at a horse and you've ever stood next to one or been around them at all, their size, they're just magnificent animals, but their size can be overwhelming. And you say lots of times when animals are in, like horses, are in a trailer for long rides, when they're being transported from one place to another, that if they don't get enough movement, they're like human beings.
Mm-hmm.
They create problems for
mm-hmm.
themselves. And there are lazy horses, aren't there?
Oh, yeah.
But then there's also injuries. And something else that you mentioned, which would not be a surprise, is that when they're wearing their harnesses and they're being pulled on lead ropes and there's, you know, maybe they're a trotter, all of these things can create problems. If saddles aren't fitted properly, all of these different things can create agitations. Well, it's like wearing underwear that is not fitted properly. I mean, you're going to be darned uncomfortable.
Or a little more like maybe wearing a backpack.
Mm-hmm. But another good
example. Yeah, or shoes that aren't fitting right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So this, you talk about in your book how massage works. And again, this is something that could be applied generally overall. But you said that you want to free any restrictions up. Now, again, let's talk about a horse for a minute because this is a big animal.
Mm-hmm.
How do you determine where those restrictions are? That,
mm-hmm.
this is a lot of animal to cover.
Mm-hmm.
And although, you know, you're not 4'11", you're mm-hmm. still not 8 foot tall. So
yes.
How
mm-hmm.
how do you go about finding these places in the body?
Well, the places do, although there's definitely individual patterns or that are unique, in other words, to each individual, there are patterns that develop because of just the physics of the structure and the way gravity works and the way athletic activities work. You'll tend to, with experience, you get familiar with sort of the problem areas that are most likely to be problems, so you tend to check there first. And then the horse also, as you just run your hands lightly over the horse's body, which you can do, you know, you can cover the whole body pretty quickly that way,
mm-hmm.
the horse will give you signals about where they get a little nervous or concerned or especially focused, so they can give you feedback as well. You can also watch them move and get some ideas from that.
But I noticed again, and you've got some nice photographs in here, the way you're using your hands. Now, from what I'm observing with the photography of demonstration you have here, you're not necessarily really pushing in real hard because
mm-hmm.
dependent on the structure of the muscles. So if you're going to do this type of work, this is something really, if you have a background in understanding skeletal, muscular structure that can be assistance to you, what would you say to the layperson who is listening to this show today that they just need to pay attention to an animal's response, or what would they watch for? For with a horse, you'd watch the ears, the head. I mean, mm-hmm. what do you look for?
Yeah, I would say definitely if you, well, whether or not you know the anatomy helps, but even if you know it, you have to watch their body language, and if you don't know anatomy, you can still do a lot. But yeah, they're watching their eyes, how soft or alarmed they look,
mm-hmm.
The elevation of their head that's more lower down is more relaxed, up and higher up is more tense. You know, certainly body language, gestures, if they're swishing their tail at you or turning their head to nip at you or anything like that, that's more extreme. A lot of the signals are more subtle than that. Even just watching or being aware of their breathing,
mm-hmm.
if, whether they're holding their breath or whether they take a relaxation sigh. Mm-hmm.
So it really means you need to be attentive
mm-hmm.
to what's going on.
Yeah, and that's one of the fun things, too, about this is that you really are, I know in your on your radio show you talk a lot about developing intuitive abilities, and so both intuition and other observational skills, you just get this meditative time together with your animal where you're just focused on reading them.
Mm-hmm.
And it gets easier with practice, of course, and more fun as you get better at it, because it becomes this sort of constant conversation between you without words.
Mm-hmm. And they love it.
Mm-hmm.
They really, really love it. And they'll let you know when they've had enough. At least my Scottish Terriers do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's a fascinating thing to do, and it's fun in a way,
mm-hmm.
I've found through the years, just to observe them, and some of them will like a lot, and some of them won't want any, just not at that moment. They'll
mm-hmm.
let you know, and then other times they'll just say, okay,
mm-hmm.
I'll come back for more. Here we go.
Yeah.
Put me under the left armpit, you know, whatever. It's really fun. It really is a lot of fun. Now, you have a word in here, and let me turn the page here. It's called proprioception, P-R-O-P-R-I-O-C-E-P-T-I-O-N. Tell us what that means.
It's basically the body's awareness of itself in space, and for movement, for instance, you know, a really good athlete who's very coordinated, they have very good proprioception.
Mm-hmm.
They just, you know, without thinking about it, they just know, you know, where each body part is in space and how it relates to each other and how to coordinate their movements. So there's certain cells that are proprioceptor cells located around the joints
mm-hmm.
throughout the body, and so they give this information to the brain, but they do get more developed with athletic training. They can also get more input and more stimulation and therefore development with body work.
What mm-hmm. has been the most challenging situation in doing massage with a horse that you've ever experienced? And what kind of a horse was it?
That's a good question. Well, the most challenging situation, the only challenging situation that comes to mind is maybe on a couple occasions of having horses with very, you know, relatively violent reactions. For instance, okay, I'll go with this one mare who, if I tried to massage it on the hind end, would kick out much more, you know, violently than normal. Usually they'll just give you plenty of warnings and just lift a foot or something, and as long as you kind of respond to their feedback, everything's pretty easy. So that was challenging, and in that situation, I was certainly very grateful that I had a lot of horse handling skills
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
in my background from before doing massage. So she had given warnings, in other words, and I wasn't expecting her to react as strongly as she did, but I was still already positioning myself more safely than I
mm-hmm.
would have if she weren't giving some signals.
And sometimes, too, animals will have gone through a trauma of some kind.
Mm-hmm.
And if they have been injured, and let's go into this for just a moment, because, again, with a horse, you're dealing with a very large animal. This is a very intelligent creature.
Mm-hmm.
But it is powerful. So what you just mentioned about positioning, being
mm-hmm.
attentive, I mean, one good swift kick can shatter a leg,
mm-hmm.
break your back. I mean, there's just all kinds of things. This is the power that these animals have. So we don't want to be fearful of it, but we want to be aware of it and respect it.
Mm-hmm.
And just not make assumptions. Now, you obviously have gone through a great deal of training. I know we have some listeners that have horses of their own, and they just dearly love these animals. If they wanted to get into an understanding of massage, they have your book they could work with, and that's great. But if they really wanted to get into this in depth, where could they find out about massage therapy so that they could work with their animals and maybe work with some other animals to get more of a comfortable feel of doing this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I guess the best way beyond learning from a book is certainly taking a class. They can find, believe it or not, multiple animal massage schools in the country and other countries on the Internet. My website has a listing of schools. It's not a complete listing, not yet.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, there's a school here where I teach in Washington, the Northwest School of Animal Massage. And that's one of quite a few, really, around the country. There's more and more every year.
Well, I think animals are so significant in our lives. And your website is all about animalmassage.com. And I'm looking right now at photographs about tension with a horse. And you say you need to be alert to when the animal, if you're doing massage, is beginning to show tension or anxiousness, if they're not used to this. It's one thing when you're beginning to introduce it. It's another thing when you've worked with them more than once, and then they go,
mm-hmm.
oh, this is what you're going to do. Okay,
mm-hmm.
you know, go
mm-hmm.
over here. Scratch, you know, the left rump
yeah.
or whatever. They'll let you know because they'll have their favorite spots just like everybody.
I mean, they get very communicative.
Very much so, but it is doing it more than once. But you talk about when you're stroking them, your hand stroking down on the face, on the cheek area, and how they respond so quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when you think about it, how many times do we as people, when we are comforting someone, will put a cupped hand along the side of someone's face to let them know we care?
Mm-hmm.
Or we will say, I love you. You need to know that. It's a very gentle touch. Animals respond to it just as strongly as babies and adults do.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a very common way of communicating
mm-hmm. yeah.
that I think is very, very important. And you talk when you're working with a horse. It is a good idea to always have someone else with you so that they can watch the head of the horse. And I remember when I learned for the first time, this was not that long ago, about a year and a half ago, I learned that horses cannot see straight forward. They see out of the side, and their eyes are structured so that they can be aware of predators. And it's just an amazing thing when you are around different animals, what you can learn, and you just have so much great information on the horse. Now let's get to the dog.
Okay.
I want to know about this wonderful guy that's on the cover of your book.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, he just, you're giving him, you've got a picture.
She's
of
She's a
she. Oh, it's a she. Excuse
Rosie.
Me. Rosie. Well,
yep.
Rosie is so laid back. She's smiling in this
yeah.
picture. It's like, hey, I'll do this anytime. Take my picture. She just loves being in the limelight. She is just
she
beautiful.
Does.
And she's a retriever, right?
Yes, a golden retriever.
Yes, she is just absolutely gorgeous. Now, Rosie, I know, like your horse, is accustomed to being able to get a massage, and there's a lot of commonalities, like you mentioned, between animals. And again, if they're going to do it, or if you're going to do it with an animal, the more you do it, then the more trusting they are. What has been your biggest challenge with dogs when you've tried to do massage?
Well, for me, the biggest challenge with dogs is they tend to either, when you get down on the floor with them, and this is, again, for a dog who's not used to the routine of it, when you get down on the floor with them, they either want to play with you, which is very common, and they don't feel ready to settle down for a massage necessarily right away. Or as you start massaging, if they do have area of concerns and you go to those areas trying to help them with mm-hmm. a sore back or leg or whatever, they'll get often at first very shy about that, very defensive, but not like growling. I mean, rarely mm-hmm. that. I've never had that happen, but just that they'll be not so sure they want to be massaged. They'd mm-hmm. rather just be given a cookie or played with or pet. But they'll guard the areas that are, sore.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's just, it generally just takes about 5-10 minutes of sort of finding that balance of persisting but also not forcing the massage on them.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause it can be a tricky balance. The horses are more used to sort of standing for being groomed, et cetera. So, and also maybe I'm just in my own background used to handling a lot more different horses, but I think generally just because they are used to standing and even being tied and, mm-hmm. standing still for grooming and standing still for long periods because of the activities we tend to do with horses. Dogs aren't typically used to that.
Mm-hmm.
So they'll try a little more to avoid or to get you to do something different. And so, again, finding that balance of, because you don't want to ever force the massage on them and, that sort of defeats the purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And yet you also have to kind of talk them into it sometimes.
Now, with dogs, a difference too. One, they are differences. One, they're smaller. They're a heck of a lot smaller. Even if you have a mastiff, that's a heck of a lot smaller than a horse.
Mm-hmm.
But two, you have dogs that have thick, long coats, hairy coats, like Rosie. She has the most gorgeous coat. And lots of times those coats really can interfere with the feel that you need to get regarding those muscles. When you have someone like a Boston Bull that's short-haired or a short-haired Doxy, something like this, your fingers are going to find the muscles, they're going to find the tendons much more readily. And let's throw in kitty cats here for a moment, because mm-hmm. kitties, it's the same thing, I would imagine, because they have their physiology is a little different, but when you have those thick coats on, how do you recognize what's under that coat when you're going to do a massage?
It actually isn't as hard as it seems like it would be. A really thick coat like a husky or something,
mm-hmm.
yes, it's a little bit, it's a different feel, but actually your fingers can work your way still down to basically the skin very easily. If you're not just petting across the top of the coat, but actually letting your fingertips sink down into the fur,
mm-hmm.
you get down there. And also, I think, suppose because the hairs are rooted into the skin, it's not like feeling through a thick layer of clothing on a person, because
mm-hmm.
even the hair itself is rooted into the skin and into their physiology. So even when you are just touching the surface of the coat, you're much more connected.
Now, you take a positioning when you're doing your massage with dogs, and I would assume this would also apply with cats. You want to be comfortable when you're doing it, and you've got a picture of how you've got your dog, and this is your dark-haired dog with white paws. What's the name of this dog?
Maybe Darcy. There's two dark black dogs with white. The older one is Jesse, and the younger one is Darcy.
Okay, is this Jesse? He's got a mark on his chest. He's got a white
yeah.
mark on his chest.
I think that's Darcy.
Okay, that's Darcy. Darcy is licking her nose. She's absolutely enjoying what you're doing. But you say you want to be comfortable, but you want to be safe with an animal.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't want to put your face too close to a dog's face. And I relate to that. And I relate to it because one of my Scotties, Kinsey, we had not had her for very long. And she had gone through a great amount of stress and trauma before we acquired her. And I remember I had her close to me, and all of a sudden she whipped her face around, and I got canines opening up my face. And I knew she didn't do it on purpose. That wasn't something, but it was an automatic reaction. And that is something that people need to know when they're working with dogs or with cats, that if dependent on their situation, your words about making sure you're positioned away from their face is very important.
Yes, and again, particularly depending on your the dogs or the animal's history and your history with them, and also just to keep in mind that even if it's your dog and they've never done anything like that before, if you're massaging them and you come across something that hurts, you might they might in the moment feel like they need to defend themselves and react and not mean to, but it, you know, it's, it can be like a reflex reaction to pain. And if your face happens to be right there, you know, you're more at risk than if you're not.
That is true. And I state that from personal experience. So I didn't hold Kinsey responsible. And it, her reaction afterwards, like, oh, I didn't mean to do that. It was very interesting. But it's something that can happen, and like you said, they don't have the voice to say ouch, and they don't speak in the languages we do. They don't have the muscles for it, so they do it in a different way. And among their own kind, that would be what they would do. They would turn around if any other dog causes them pain or a child or anything. That's what they do. And I've seen this happen with arthritic animals, and it's something that you have to respect. You need to pay attention to that. So I just think that that is a very important tip. Now, your other dog, give me the name again, the one that has the white around the eyes, the big guy.
Jesse.
Jesse. Now, with Jesse, Jesse looks like he's older. Am I wrong?
She is. She just turned 14 last October.
Well, she's a beautiful, beautiful matron. That's my little term that I'd apply to that. She is just a beautiful matron. And that is something that when you're dealing with the dogs, that's important. Now, let's cover cats for a couple of minutes because we're going to touch on that. What would you want to let a cat lover know about massage? Now, you have the two books, The Horse Lover's Guide to Massage and The Dog Lover's Guide to Massage. And, of course, they can go to your website to get that. But what would you want people to know about cats?
Yes, well, cats, I do have a selection of books for cats as well in the store of my, I have lots of books in the store of my website, even, you know, not only the ones that I've written. So there are some cat resources in there.
Oh, good.
Yeah, cat owners just really, I mean, you could even, if you want to understand how massage works and a lot of the basics, the same information from my horse and dog books would apply to cats, but with I do hope to get a cat book out there because they definitely need their own. But again, there are other cat massage books out there, and I would say just expect it to be in much smaller doses. So it might even be just a couple minutes at a time, depending on the cat. And some of the stresses that they go through are a little bit different. They, you know, they're not ridden like horses are, and they're not doing agility trials or herding sheep or things that some of the dogs are doing. And they're just, you know, much smaller, so gravity doesn't have the same kinds of impacts. Well, same kinds, but not the same degree of impact on them. But they still benefit. They still do have muscle issues at times, particularly if they've had a fall or an injury of any kind. They still will get ill or have injuries that they maybe get a surgery for, or even just getting spayed or neutered is a trauma and a stress. And then as they get older, they have the same geriatric issues, issues with their organ systems, digestion, kidneys, all that. So the touch therapies, including massage, can help all of those things quite a bit.
Well, this has been marvelous, Megan. And for those of you that would like to find out more, she has a wonderful website. She's mentioned her bookstore that she's got. So, and she's in Kirkland, Washington. But go to allaboutanimalmassage.com. Allaboutanimalmassage.com. This is Megan Ayrault, and her last name is spelled A-Y-R-A-U-L-T. Megan, it's been a delight having you today. thank you so much for these absolutely magnificent publications. They should be in any animal lover's library because they're a wonderful reference to utilize. And I wish you the best. Again, her website, allaboutanimalmassage.com. Megan, thank you for being my guest today.
Thank you. Can I add one thing, too?
Yes.
My website does have a free ebook.
Oh, okay.
So people should definitely go and check that out as well.
Thank you, Megan. That's wonderful. Free ebook at allaboutanimalmassage.com. This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. We're going to be back in just a moment.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Do you want to lose weight? Do you deal with diabetes, high blood pressure, osteoporosis, or chronic pain? Do you want to know one of Dr. Perricone's 7 secrets to beauty, health, and longevity? Do you have 15 minutes a day to look and feel better? Then let me introduce you to DTAP, the workout that works. For the beginner or expert exerciser, learn from physical training specialist Teresa Tapp how, in just 15 minutes a day, you can burn fat and sugar, build strong bones and muscles, and lose inches fast with no equipment or jumping. Visit the TTAP website, ttap.com, or call 1-800-342-0717 to learn how. That's TTAPP.com. We'll help you lose inches, look good, and feel fabulous at TTAP. 1-800-342-0717, ttap.com.
Hi, this is Donna. Telephone lines are now open, so if you'd like to call in and chat with me, here is the worldwide toll-free number of 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. I wanted to say you're going to be hearing from me on a regular basis about if you have a story about the paranormal, please send a copy if you'd like to have it. I'm going to be publishing a book. We're working for the next year to acquire 100 stories from anywhere in the world about personal experiences people have had with out-of-body, with astral projection of different types, with anything to do with dreams, something that for you was exceptional. And if you could email it to me, I want you to be sure to put your contact information in there so you can be acknowledged properly in the book. And what I want to do with this book is to show people that the psychic experience, the intuitive experience, is not abnormal. No matter what your cultural background is, no matter what your religious training is, this is a part of life. You know, I was talking this morning with someone that said their daughter had some series of experiences, and I'm hoping they will send the information to me. And they said she thought she was literally going insane. And she said, it's because of people like you that I have been educated and I was able to talk to her. She wasn't going crazy. Here is someone whose talents and abilities just opened up. And for a long, 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 long time, there's been so much misunderstanding because there's been so much false information, so much voodoo, hoodoo, you do, I do, whatever, woo-woo stuff. And when we're able to talk about the skills of the mind in a very down-to-earth, realistic way and demonstrate them, they are absolutely awesome. And they belong to everyone. So that's what this book is all about. And I invite you to send me your story. You can send it via email to Donna@DelphiInternational.com, or you can send it to me snail mail at The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. Your story is important, and it's important that your story be heard. Don't worry about trying to make grammar perfect with it. Just tell your story honestly, truthfully, without any exaggeration. Don't add anything to it. Don't take anything away from it. Write it out how you feel about it and how it affected you. And we may have an opportunity to put it in the publication. So, again, I look forward to that. Also, we are going to have information about the Pacific Northwest Women's Show that will be coming up in the latter part of March. Can you believe that? It's unreal. This year already is filling up with activities. And I'm going to be going up into Alaska in the early part of March, it looks like. I thought I might be doing it in the latter part of February, but it looks like it's going to be taking place in the latter part of March. So for those of you that will be listening to me from the far north, just know that we're going to be heading on up your way about that time. The dates have not been secured yet, but as soon as I have them in place, I will be letting you know. And tonight, I am going to be doing a radio show, and I am going to be on the air with Don Eckert, and I will be pulling together some more information for you so that you will be able to know. It's going to be from 10 tonight until midnight. There will be open phone lines, and I will be on the air with Don, and I'll give you some more information about that in just a moment. Donna Sebo here. Give me a call if you'd like to chat, 888-815-9756. Now, tomorrow, we're going to be talking about business. We're going to be having Ruth King, and she is a repeat guest. We've had Ruth on before talking about small business, but this is a new book that she's put out, The Ugly Truth About Business, 50 Things That Can Go Wrong and What You Can Do About It. So if you're contemplating business, maybe as an entrepreneur, and you're saying, gee whiz, I would like to be able to know what to look for in the way of pitfalls, boy, you're not going to want to miss the show tomorrow. And then on Thursday, we're going to be talking with Kim Rosen. She has an exquisite book called Saved by a Poem. And then on Friday, Dr. Ed Klein. Who were you in a past life? Do you believe in reincarnation? If you don't, I think you'll still find the show interesting. If you do, you know you'll find it interesting. So that's the lineup for this week, and I invite you to tell your friends so you can share it with them, and they can join in and listen to what's being shared. And don't forget, we also have the archives. If you miss a show, you can always go into the archives and listen to it later on. That is provided for you by BBS. Well, fossils. I have in front of me a picture of an insect that is absolutely amazing. It looks like something that you'd expect out of a sci-fi movie. And most of us remember Jurassic Park and how they got DNA from fossils for dinosaurs and so on and so forth. And it was all preserved in amber. Well, most of the time, amber is not what we see it as in the jewelry stores. It's not always that clear and translucent. There was, however, this insect, which was found in a piece of amber. It's 100 million years old. I'd love to know how they figured out that number. 100 million years old. Now, this wasp was trapped in what they called an opaque amber until this group of researchers at the European Synchrotron Radiation Facility, which is a 1,000-foot-wide particle accelerator. It creates intense beams of X-rays. You know this thing has to really be powerful. Well, there was a gentleman by the name of Paul of this organization who scanned a bunch of amber, and it was dark amber from an area of France, and he found within these chunks literally hundreds of insects. He found beetles, ants, and flies. Well, that's not a big surprise because amber is a sap. So these things are crawling around and the liquid is weeping out of the tree, and lo and behold, they get caught, they die in the sap. Well, they found when they magnified these creatures and used 3D printers, they were able to create plastic models that enabled them to examine in detail what they had in front of them. They found more than 600 different insects, and not one of them matches a modern-day species. We wouldn't have had an opportunity of remotely even imagining that we were capable of this, let's say, 50 years ago. This is what the people's imagination can do. They'll say, what if I could do this? How can we do this? Always asking questions, learning, growing, and expanding. It's amazing. We learn a lot from being able to understand what's been before us. He said it was an interest. Paul said when he was a kid, he was interested in scanning dead flies. Oh, you've got to be kidding. But he loved it. Here is a career. Would he have even imagined that he'd have an opportunity to find out about species that had lived 100 million years ago when he was a little boy examining dead flies? Go figure. Well, he is a graduate of this facility, and I know we've got a listener. Let me get to this. He said every time he does a scan, he finds a new discovery. He said ancient insects appear overall remarkably similar to what we have today in their counterparts, but they differ in detail in phenomenal ways. He said, I've got to tell you something, though. An ant that they found that's 100 million years old looks a lot like the ants we have today. Figure that one out. Fascinating stuff. Donna Sebo here. Let's go to our first caller. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. First name or initial, and where are you calling from?
Hi, my name is Tori, and I'm calling from Idaho, and I spoke with you last week, and you told me to call back because you didn't get my question answered.
Okay, that's great. I don't remember what I said to you, but that's okay. What was your question, dear?
Well, I just am having some issues right now with my 16-year-old son. And my ex-husband and custody issues, and my boyfriend. So I'm just feeling really off balance and not really knowing where I need to go and what I need to do.
All right. Well, I'm not going to have time to do a full-scale reading on you.
Okay.
That we could set up a private appointment for if you wanted to go into heavy detail. But pick one area that you want to focus on.
My son.
All right. So we have to take a break for just a moment. Will you stay on the line, and then we'll come
mm-hmm.
back to you, okay? All right, Tori.
Okay.
And where are you Idaho?
Pocatello.
All right. We're going to be coming back to Tori in Pocatello, Idaho, and we'll be addressing the question about her son. We'll be back in just a moment.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right. Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay only $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 1-800-872-8852. That's 1-800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Gedrose. Buy it today. 1-800-872-8852.
Hi, this is Donna. 888-815-9756. Tori, what is your son's first initial?
T.
Okay. When I'm looking at T, the first thing I'm getting is there is an anger that has nothing whatsoever to do with you. He is feeling like he's caught between a rock and a hard spot. He's involved with some individuals that, call them peers, if you will, that are creating challenges in his mind relative to what he should be doing and what he shouldn't be doing. He feels as if he is caught between, again, a rock and a hard spot. If you had someone in the family or a good friend that could take him on a hike, do something physical with him, let him expend some energy, and then be in a place that offers a factor of isolation where he can just sit and talk with your son. That would be of tremendous help. He is not able to communicate with you, not because he doesn't want to. He does not have the maturity of using words effectively, and that frustrates him. He knows what he would like to say. He does not know how to say it. He is very confused. He is talking to peers. They will tell him their feelings. He does not know how to separate with any level of wisdom from what they're telling him and what he's feeling. And he just doesn't know what to do. Do you have someone that can talk to your son? Do you have an uncle? Do you have a brother? You know, someone that your son really, really respects?
Well, there is a cousin of his who is my nephew that may be able to get through to him.
How old? No, it's
however,
a matter
he doesn't live here.
How old is he?
His cousin is 21.
All right, that might help. There's enough age difference there that can make a difference. There's something you need to be aware of. Your son, physiologically, is a man. He's not a little boy.
Right.
You, as the mother, represent to him something very significant. He is at this time in his life where he feels physiologically, it doesn't mean the brain's working. This is a physiological hormonal thing where he is saying, I am the man. I am supposed to be like the head of the house. I am supposed to be responsible. Yet at the same time, he realizes he can't. He can't take on the responsibility full bore. He doesn't know how to make the shift of communicating from being mother's son, being the little boy that you've raised, to being the man that can be the friend in your life. I don't know if that's going to make sense to you, but it's a transition of communication. And one of the best sources is a mature male that can help him understand how to do this.
And would a counselor help, or actually just a family member that he looks up to?
A counselor could help if you had a good male counselor that you could relate to as well.
Okay.
That is very important. This is a very difficult time for a young man.
Yeah.
What's his biggest challenge that he's having with you at this time?
Well, he's dealing with cystic acne right now, and it's really kind of overcome him, and we can't seem to get a handle on it. And so I think that's probably really affecting him. And then also we've got, I just sent him to live with his father a couple of months ago, and he's just confused because we're divorced, and I know he's confused.
Well, when you're dealing with, again, he's a man. He's not a little boy. He's not, he's in a whole different spectrum. And when you have acne, and it's really severe, it's a miserable, miserable environment to be in.
Oh, yeah.
And there are certain products, and I can't vouch for them, but I know that there are different products that are promoted on television that work with acne. But there is a lot going on here, and a lot of it is generated by hormonal changes. And so there is a side that you can approach with nutrition and with cleanliness and say, your body has to do the adjustments, so let's keep things from scarring. Let's work with the body as much as we can and look at it from a healthy perspective. That is very, very important because those hormones are just raging. And here he is in this middle thing. You have sent him away to his dad.
Right.
And so he's saying, I'm being dumped.
Right. I'm understanding that.
And what there, again, you need to have someone that, where he feels like he's got something stable and that he is now with his dad. If he's not had all that much interaction before, they're going to be as excited about each other. You know, it's tar and feathers. So there is going to be this learning curve between the two of them, which is not all bad. But he just doesn't feel like he belongs. And again, he's in this bridge period. He's got to go across the bridge, and this is like an initiation for him. It's not something that is easy, and there's no shortcuts for him, and you've got to stop making excuses for him, but help him try to understand what's going on here, because this bridge going into manhood is going to happen whether he likes it or not.
Right.
And this is a time for him to be able to look at it. But with the acne on top of it, and, you just have a compounded situation here. But I would start putting some muscle magazines around. You know, they have some of the best nutritional. Joe Weider's magazines, I think, are marvelous. You get a lot of good nutritional information. And when you talk to him, try to find out resources where there are other young people that are going through the same thing and how they're helping themselves get through it. Because that is a very, very difficult thing to do. And there are things that he can do for himself where he's not going to be so self-centered. But at this time in his life, it's as normal as breathing. I mean, it happens with girls. It happens pretty much earlier than this. Usually it's right around 13 and 12 when it really hits them. With guys, it can come in a little bit later. And with him, he's sort of coming into that late cycle, and it's going to wreak havoc. Just be prepared.
Okay.
No shortcuts here, hon.
All righty.
I hope that helped you in some way, Toby.
Thank you. I appreciate your information, Donna.
You're welcome. You have a wonderful evening now. This is Donna Siebel. My goodness. The hour's just flown by again, but we'll be back here same time, same place tomorrow. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. It is important for you to keep that in mind because it empowers you so that you recognize that you can step up to opportunity when it knocks at your door, open that door, and say, hi, I'm in, come on and join me. I'm ready. This is Donna Sebo. We'll talk with you tomorrow right here. I'll be seeing you then. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.